This is Lewis Rogers, and welcome to The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. This is a great day for Capital Square. We have our two chiefs here, and it's exceptional. We have Whit Huffman, who's our Chief Investment and Strategy Officer. Hello, Whit.
Hey, Lewis.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You've been on the show before?
I have.
So you're not exactly in the hot seat, but your colleague is in the hot seat. You introduced us about, 2.5 years ago to Adam Stiefel. Adam, welcome to The Real Estate Show.
Thank you, Lewis. Good to see you.
I understand you've had a promotion recently. What is your current title?
I am the Chief Development Officer, recently promoted from Executive Vice President of Development.
Wonderful. So we have a Chief Investment and Strategy Officer and a Chief Development Officer. So we're rolling. If we had a CEO, we could have a board meeting. But seriously, Adam, tell me what you're doing at Capital Square and why we're so excited about development.
Sure. I'll give you a little background. I had my own company in Washington, D.C., called Cass Riegler for a little over a decade, doing multifamily urban infill development. It was roughly 4 or 5 years ago I started seeing the writing on the wall as margins were kind of declining in our market and construction prices were escalating, et cetera, that I was really interested in taking a look at secondary, tertiary markets, mostly drivable from Washington for me to invest in. I thought that there was a lot of good escalation going on in places like Richmond, places like Frederick, Maryland, Annapolis, Charlottesville, and even a little further south, looking in Raleigh and places like that. Richmond became a really primary area of focus for me in kind of my investment thesis. In that whole process, I had teed up a couple pieces of property in Scott's Addition in Richmond, which is a kind of up-and-coming neighborhood. And in learning about those deals and underwriting them and looking for capital partners, I was introduced to Whit Huffman to my left through some mutual friends and work colleagues. Next thing I know, I believe we were in my office in Georgetown with Lewis here, talking about how Capital Square could help invest in these projects and capitalize them and bring in their tax-advantaged investors to my Opportunity Zone projects, which we can talk about further. This is kind of the truncated version of that story, but one thing led to another, and my company got rolled up into Capital Square, and we started a development vertical within Capital Square in 2019, I believe.
It's a very exciting time. Whit brings Adam, and Adam brings... how many people?
At first, it was just two or three of us, but we've really built out the development platform over the last couple of years as we've really needed the help because we did source a lot of deals in that time in Richmond and beyond, and mostly the Southeast. But we have a development team of 8 or 9 people right now, not including some administrative support that we receive from kind of the Capital Square accounting world and whatnot. So it feels much bigger, but really the development focused team is pretty small and nimble.
We had Natalie Mason on the last 2 weeks. She's a very impressive development expert.
She is.
And a delightful character who studied Russian studies and some kind of Eastern linguistics before becoming a real estate developer, which is thought that was kind of interesting.
We thought it was an appropriate time to bring some real brain horsepower to the operation. So recruited Natalie. We kind of had heard through the grapevine that she was looking around in the Richmond and Washington, D.C. areas as she wanted to kind of get closer to home with her kids. And she's a rock star, born and bred Richmond native, all the Ivy Leagues, and obviously a great education at Tishman Speyer.
A lot of credentials. So you're both from D.C. originally?
We are.
Mm-hmm.
And Whit has moved to Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten you to move yet, but we'll work on you a little bit.
I tried. You got to work on my wife. That's the, yeah.
Well, we'll meet her at Long Oven for dinner.
Yeah.
Or the Fat Dragon or any of the other places. I don't want to slight any of the restaurants because we like them all. Scott's Addition's our favorite hip, cool place. I think, Whit, you were early on the Scott's Addition bandwagon. What did you see in Scott's 4 or 5 years ago before it was so popular?
Well, I think, and especially coming from D.C. and understanding where the hot markets came in D.C. and the things that made 14th Street or Logan Circle super unique and compelling from an investment perspective and what drew people to want to live there and rent apartments there, we saw a lot of the same things in Scott's Addition. The challenge we had at Capital Square, 4 or 5 years ago was there wasn't a lot of institutional size and quality inventory for us to acquire to bring to our DST investors.
In Scott's Addition?
In Scott's Addition.
It was just old warehouses being converted to I shouldn't say crappy apartments, but basically pretty, no windows and not very amenitized.
And so for us, the best way to capitalize on what we saw with the growth of Scott's Edition was going to be through development. Right. It was never going to come through the DST business because we didn't see liquidity in that market to acquire assets that fit well for our stabilized acquisition program.
So Capital Square started with three smaller Class A ground up development, mixed use communities, and then did the joint venture with Graystar, which is mega 350 units. That's a very institutional quality deal. Mm-hmm. And from that experience, is there another one coming?
There is indeed. Just adjacent to the Scott's Collection deals, we have what we call the Chasen properties, where it's the family we're buying a big portion of property from in Scott's Edition and are intending on another 350 units there.
Can you add up all those units? What are we
talking
about?
It's roughly 1,000. It's roughly 1,000 that we're involved in Scott's Edition right now.
1,000 Class A units, and before there were no Class A units?
Yeah, there was.
I would say there was Class A units. I would just say that there was nothing to transact on in that space for us.
And if I understand correctly, mostly old warehouses or just land that was just sitting vacant. This is not an urban renewal story. This is a story of taking dysfunctional real estate and building something nice.
That's right. And I think that's an important aspect of what we're doing here. We're not displacing anyone. I think it's really unique where you get to go into a neighborhood and improve it without upsetting the neighborhood. Nobody lived here in the first place. This is a warehouse district, and we're just trying to create the highest and best use for the real estate that we see. Some of it's land, some of it's an old warehouse, some of it,
one of them had a shack on it.
Yeah, one of them had
material store.
It was a yard for a landscaping company, and they had built a lodge on it, which is kind of funny. Unfortunately, we had to take that down. But it really varies. It's an eclectic neighborhood that, now is maybe in the fourth or fifth inning, but there's a lot to do.
It's nice. You hear some negative stories about urban renewal and the way, Charlotte came in with the bulldozers and just cleared out neighborhoods and built their football stadium and all that jazz. But in Scott's Edition, you're just taking dysfunctional and making it beautiful anew.
That's right. And from a developer standpoint, it's really been great working in Richmond. In this neighborhood, I think the city has had the foresight to zone things in that neighborhood correctly. Coming from where I came from, and really contentious deals in Washington
NIMBYs.
And everything, yeah, a lot
not
of NIMBYs.
In my backyard.
Everybody's been really supportive of the growth of Scott's Edition, and everybody wants to see more and more.
The neighbors have been supportive.
They certainly have.
City,
yeah,
city council and government and permitting.
Yep. As compared to what I'm used to, it has been a joy.
We're not DC. We're still a nice, pleasant Southern city, and that is all very exciting to hear. We have a catchy phrase that we use in the office called building the future of Richmond. Where did that come from, and how are you building it?
I think that's just an indication that we really want to invest in our own backyard. We are a national company, right? But Richmond's really important to us. We have a lot of people from Richmond that live in Richmond, and we want to support the community in which we work. So we're trying to go very aggressively on Richmond real estate. And we want the people of Richmond to know that we're investing in the community and that we're building the future of Richmond and pumping a lot of money into this market. And I think that's reflective of our interest in the Diamond District RFI that we've responded to. We're, in the finalists of that. There's a lot of big kind of national firms involved in that response as well. But, hopefully that messaging kind of gets out there that this investment, that investment that is just adjacent to Scott's Edition is really important to us, not just from an investment profile standpoint.
We live here. We live there.
That's right.
You have an office there. Natalie has an office there. We're building 1,000 apartment units close enough that you could, in what, 2 minutes, you could walk from the apartments to the Diamond, a couple minutes.
That's right.
And so it means a great deal to us. And that really is our future. And that's building the future of Richmond. As a part of that, we have a charitable endeavor called Capital Square Cares, catchy phrase, and you'll be hearing a little more about that in the future. And I understand Capital Square has a major project in Raleigh. Is that right? Raleigh's kind of like Richmond, state capital, mid-sized city, very pleasant, lots of opportunity. What?
It is. From a kind of city profile standpoint, I often say, I hope this doesn't rub anyone the wrong way, I call Richmond the next Raleigh, right? And Raleigh is the next Austin or Nashville or something like that. There's just so much institutional investment going into Raleigh, North Carolina, and the Triangle generally right now. It's a very frothy market. Rents have escalated at a staggering rate over the last, call it 5 years. COVID and people moving kind of back to where they came from or wanting to leave major markets really poured gasoline on that. It's another story of us identifying good opportunity zone land, really, really well located opportunity zone land. Some of these opportunity zones are in places where you wouldn't think there would be as compared to like a downtown major market. So I was looking in places that were just as close as possible to...
This isn't Raleigh-Durham. This is Raleigh-Downtown.
This is Raleigh-Downtown, right. And so we got a piece of land just adjacent to the Red Hat Amphitheater and the Convention Center, walkable to all of downtown.
That close?
That very close.
Right there. Main and Main.
And we were really excited about it. So we got it under contract and rezoned it to get a 20-story tower on the site. So we're doing 300-unit, 20-story tower, very highly amenitized, beautiful Class A tower.
300 units.
That's right.
So that's, now we're up to 1,300 units in this discussion.
Right.
So we understand there's a major housing shortage. Our Capital Square's economic advisor, Dr. Peter Linneman, tells us that we're short, what, 4 million units?
Yeah, it's an incredible problem.
How did that happen? Was it the real estate recession when people stopped building or what?
I think it's a confluence of factors. I think the real estate recession certainly contributed to it. I think in our recent memory, right, COVID contributed to it and all those construction projects that were delayed during COVID when there was a lack of liquidity in the debt capital markets or folks didn't know where things were headed and they were reticent to start construction. And what we found, right, was we're, you know, hopefully if there's a piece of wood here, I'd love to knock on it. It feels like we're through the other side of COVID. But those compounding factors of not starting construction are being felt today. And I do think that as we look at the housing shortage, right, it isn't just 4 million of one type of real estate, right? We're talking about the spectrum.
That's everything from single family to...
Single family to multifamily rentals to affordable housing to luxury housing, right? It's not like there is 4 million of one type, but when you look at it at a broader level as apartment owners, there's a couple things, right? When we look at our existing assets, there's obviously been a ton of runway for rent growth as right people have to find a place to live. It's one of the laws of human nature is you have to have a roof over your head, right? You need a place to live. You don't have to go to the retail center to shop for, you know, a J. Crew shirt. And I love J. Crew. Adam, I think you're wearing some right now and you look great. But you don't have to go shopping, right? You don't even need to go to the grocery store anymore. You can have it delivered, right? There's an app for that. And there's almost an app for everything. But the one thing you can't have an app for, the one thing that does not change is people need a place to live and they need a roof over their head. And so multifamily housing offers that. As it relates to development, one of the things that's most exciting is as we identify trend lines in our existing portfolio, and we're about 12,000 units that we own, we can then work with Adam and his team and say, hey, we're seeing an unbelievable amount of folks want to rent 2 and 3 bedroom apartment units in this southeastern city that maybe has been overlooked. We should think about building community there. And so I think when we talk about the expansion and breadth of our platform, the thing that's most exciting to me is how multiple sides of the house can feed off of each other to make each other better. We call it cross-pollination, where the investments team and the development team, we work together and it creates better outcomes for both groups.
So we're in lease up on the first building in Scott's Addition, the first Opportunity Zone fund. What's the sense? How's it going?
It's going well. We delivered that building in probably the worst lease up time of year that you can, being kind of January 1st-ish. It's gone relatively well considering from a pace standpoint. We're roughly 70% leased up on our first one right now, which is really great. And this is really the leasing season that we're in now. So we're really going to start seeing a lot of velocity. What's really exciting from a developer standpoint is the rates, right? The rates have outpaced what we could have ever projected them to be. Rent escalation in Richmond.
12.2%.
12.2%. In Scott's Addition, though, when I was...
More like 20%.
Well, it was 8% the year that we kind of came in, year over year, which I thought was fascinating and unbelievable. And of course, we're not going to project that moving forward, right? But then COVID hit and it started to be 21%, right? 22% over the last 2 years or something like that. And so that's just kind of unexpected luck. And so we're leasing up at, you know, in the mid $2.50 a square foot right now, which is... you know, roughly 20, 30 cents a foot over what our pro formas said at the beginning. I don't see that going on forever. I think that that's a nice rate that is palatable to the renter, gets them into, you know, a $1,600 a month apartment.
So it's still affordable. It's a smaller apartment, typically.
It is, but we also just design these days way more efficiently than we used to. So while it is from a square footage standpoint, just the way that we put it together and where the bedroom fits as
Jack
compared
and Jill
to the
bathrooms,
yeah,
whatever
like
they
that.
Call them.
Yeah, you just get a little bit more creative. People don't need massive kitchen with an island that they might have in 2008. That was kind of a trend back then, right? I think people are just more willing to live a little bit smaller as long as they have all of these amenities and they have a place for their bike and they've got a place for their car and all that kind of stuff, which we do have. So there's certain boxes that you can check and give them an actual smaller space to live in, but it doesn't feel that way at the end of the day.
You know, I think we spend a lot of time focused too on rent growth and where new product is trading, but I think one of the things that makes Scott's Edition special is those historic tax credit deals that were done earlier, right? And some of the newer things that were built, and maybe it's not trophy class A, but it's a more affordable or more palatable rent level for, you know, everyday folks that are actually working in that neighborhood. And I think in the long run, one of the things that I think really makes us confident in where Scott's Edition will be, not just today, but 10 years from now, is that will help preserve the authenticity of the neighborhood. I think when you look at a lot of, certainly in primary markets where you have evolving submarkets and the people that originally lived there are displaced, those neighborhoods lose their authenticity, right? And I think at a high level, you know, we think about building the future of Richmond, right? Building the future of Richmond means it's a great place for everyone. And Scott's Edition is unique in being able to offer that. It's a great place for everyone, regardless of if you can rent a $2,000 a month apartment or you're renting somewhere else for $1,200 a month. I think that makes it really unique. And I think when you look at where this neighborhood will be 10 years from now, since it is an opportunity zone hold, I do think this neighborhood's going to fare better than most others in the long run because it will preserve that authenticity, right? It won't just be a neighborhood of glass boxes. And I think that is really unique.
Hmm. That's an interesting perspective. And as much as a rent growth story, I think it's a job story.
Mm-hmm.
Think about CoStar and the big companies, the Facebooks, the Amazons, all these companies in Midlothian that are opening up. We keep seeing press releases. I mean, what did Andy Florence say about opening up his HQ2 for CoStar in Richmond versus Bethesda?
So it's a more affordable lifestyle, which helps with their employee retention. And I think it's a really interesting point that you bring up about CoStar and employers in general, because, and we all know this, when you say it, it just sounds like common sense, right? But if you're going to open a big office, you yes. want it to be someplace that people want to live.
Yes.
And when you look at cities like Nashville, right, there, Oracle's opening a large office there. I heard Apple's got some employees coming to Nashville, right? That's a place that employees want to be. As developers, and as we think about building Scott's Edition, the next step of this is how do we get these big employers to recognize all the amazing things that are going on so we can get the next CoStar, right? We can get the next big tech company that's looking for their HQ2 outside of the West Coast. I think when we talk about the future of Richmond, I think that's the new frontier for us. And it's going to be incumbent on the developers to get out there, spread the word, and work with the city to get those jobs here.
It's exciting.
Yeah, worth noting on that point is that I think it's roughly 30% of our renters thus far coming in are from out of town.
That's an amazing number.
It is.
I wouldn't have believed it, but you know, CoStar has hired or is hiring 2,000 people.
Incredible.
That means a lot of them are coming from out of town. Mm-hmm. And so we need to build even more housing. Adam, what inning are we in? You've said the third inning. What inning are we in?
I think we're fourth or fifth. I think it's a lot of runaway.
Which is an interesting segue. If we're walking from Rosneath heading towards Arthur Ashe Boulevard, we walk across the street. There's this big old concrete looking thing. What is that?
The diamond where the squirrels play needs to be rebuilt. The diamond, I believe it's 2027, is kind of their the horizon on the usability of that
a
structure.
A new stadium that meets...
That's right. All the new MLB codes and all this kind of stuff, right? So we are in the hunt with the city on a request for information proposal that we've submitted with our team with Hoffman Associates out of Washington, D.C., who's a large-scale developer that has executed a public-private partnership like this in D.C. at the Wharf. We have Baskerville, a
one of the oldest.
Yep.
Berms in Richmond.
In Richmond, that's right, on the team. So we've come up with a great team, and I think we have a really great plan. And we're kind of in the midst of developing our next response to the city as they've requested a little bit more information on some of the financing efforts. And so all the pretty pictures are starting to come out. We're going to have some renderings, and the ideas are really being developed as we speak. So we can't talk too much about it.
Capitol Square made the first cut, and you have this 66-point-something acre, basically a blank slate. What's your vision for this piece of this gem?
I think the vision is, it's akin to what the city's vision is, to be honest. It's a matter of kind of where things go, where we move the ballpark to on the site. Where do we want to put the multifamily pads? Where do we want to put a townhouse pad or a commercial pad or an affordable housing building, et cetera? So we have come up with a plan and idea that I think actually relates pretty well to Scott's Addition, to be honest. We want to create some connectivity to it. And even from a design inspiration standpoint, I think we are kind of erring towards a upscale industrial kind of look and feel with a lot of great retail restaurants and pedestrian kind of credenza going towards the ballpark. There's a lot of excitement around it. It's going to take a lot of work. I hope we win, and we'll be doing this for the next 15 years of our lives if we are.
That is excellent. The diamond is our life's work. So we've got to get out there and win. The next level is an RFP.
Well, it's actually an RFAI. It was an RFI, request for information. Now we're in the request for additional information phase. And then if selected, we get down to the RFP stage where it's really in the details. And so we were a group of 15. Now we're down to a group of 6. And then hopefully we get, whittled down to 1 here shortly.
It's an exciting update. Real estate is heavily driven by financing. It dawns on me, we're recording today outside of Charlottesville. We're meeting with some of our typical lenders for hands-on. Can we say who we're meeting with today, Whit?
I think so, can we?
Sure. Tell us who we're meeting with today.
Me with Walker & Dunlop, they're the largest multifamily lender in the country.
And?
Oh, yeah. So we'll meet with some folks from the agency lenders and the debt capital markets group.
Financing is critical. Scott's Addition, the first building was being financed about the time COVID hit. Did we have a problem getting a construction loan on that building or any of the others?
No, there was a lot of concern at the beginning of COVID, right, that the sky was falling in real estate generally. I think that we worked through that really, really well and diligently. Walker & Dunlop was pivotal in us acquiring good debt for the properties. Things got a little funny with interest rates and leverage and things like that as we were in the midst of it. But it wasn't long before things came back to normal. And then it really wasn't long until everybody realized that this was an opportunity, not something where the sky was falling. And so the debt markets really opened up after it was clear that people were actually moving out of markets like Washington, D.C. and to markets like Richmond and Raleigh. So no problem getting debt.
No problem with financing. No problem with debt.
Nope.
It's a great story. This is Lewis Rogers, and you're listening to The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. I've been interviewing two chiefs at Capital Square, and we've heard a very exciting story from no developments to over $500 million of developments. It's like we went from zero to 100. It's like we're in a dragster, went from zero to 150 miles an hour in 2.5 years. It's a very exciting story. The properties are being built. They're coming online. The apartments are leasing. It's just an absolutely phenomenal, great American success story. So thank you, gentlemen, for helping make it happen. You're making my dreams come true. Now go swing that bat and let's go get the diamond. Go get them.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks. Living in the sweet Virginia
breeze. Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. Living in the sweet.